Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I want to tell you, we're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, and we're doing a cup of soup or bowl. We're going to be feeding some local food pantries in 2 weeks, Super Bowl week. We're getting out, starting to cost us. I'm wearing my Coco shirt. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll be there on Wednesday. We're going to be at Fadley's on Tuesday, all during Super Bowl week. It is a cup of soup or bowl. Be featuring charities, community organizations, lots of good stuff we're doing around here. And I'll tell you what, this is going to be good. We got Ravens, Luke's and Owings Mills. We got all that going on, big stuff, Buffalo. But our partnership with Coppin State, we've talked a lot about this. You hear it on the air. It was sports. We ran games and all of that. And Dr. Jenkins and I got together to talk more about the people at Coppin State, the students at Coppin State, the alumni at Coppin State, the business of Coppin State, and its importance and significance as an HBCU here in Baltimore, on the west side. And they got a really good women's basketball program right now. And Stu and I go way back to, I mean, we're going back to like Fang and the 98 team and all of that. And I have a lot of fun with that. And we've talked women's basketball here plenty. And I got a chance to go out to see Angel Reese last year, in a packed house and all of that stuff going on as LSU rolled in. But it's first time I've had a chance to have Coach Woods on a little while. Jermaine Woods is leading his Lady Eagles, and I got my Eagles, this is my Eagles belt buckle, just to
There we
show you
go.
I'm on board.
There we
How are
go.
you, Coach? What's going on, man?
I'm
Happy,
doing great.
this is weird. You got a little bit of a break. We got this
Yeah.
big Ravens game coming up this week and whatnot. Then you got Morgan, and I'm not hazing anybody wearing my Cocos because
Okay.
everybody, East Side, West Side, Coppin, and Morgan, everybody can come to Cocos, but they're right off the Morgan campus. And I know how much fun this rivalry can be on the men's and women's side, even on the student side, just all the way around
Yep.
for the city. You're getting ready for that. But man, you're really getting. Things are moving in the ladies' program in the MEAC for you right now. You've really put together a heck of a team and some great players this year, right?
Yeah, thank you, man. I really appreciate that, man. And we great non-conference season, most wins in non-conference history. So that was a plus. So now we're just trying to roll in conference. Just dropped two to Morgan and Howard. I mean, not Morgan, Norfolk and Howard. But we played pretty well. Have some injury things going on. A few things going on in the background that people don't know about. We won't discuss it. But we'll be back full strength and everybody be their mind will be right for the 25th. But thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Listen, women's basketball, just seeing a little bit about me. In the 1980s, I worked at the Baltimore Sun. I was a reporter there, very young reporter. I covered the Skipjacks. There's a whole documentary. And there's a little piece of it where you can see I covered women's, or girl, then it was girls, college basketball. And I'm talking late 80s when Greenberg's running Mount Hebron and they're unbelievable. Breezy Bishop's running Western. I mean, Dana Johnson's killing it going down to Tennessee. And there was placement for women, Title IX kind of coming on and whatever to have roles to play ball, but not to think there was going to be a league, a WNBA, a LeBron James of the ladies game, a Larry Bird of the ladies game. We put it wherever you want, but I would think that a conversation you and I would have had 5 years ago, 10 years ago, even then, when there have been stars of the game and there have been lady stars the last 30 years, if you've been paying attention and filling out a bracket. But what's happened here in the starification and in recent times, it's really it's a bright spot in American sports, I think. And you're on the front end of it, coaching the ladies.
Yeah, man, it's amazing. I've been doing it, I think, 13 years, I believe. It's my 3rd year as a head coach, something like that. I stopped counting at five, because as a coach, you age 2 years every year. I'm telling you that right now. So I stopped counting. But if you would have told me my first year at Virginia Tech that the women's game would be where it is now, I would have told you were a liar. We didn't forecast it, and shame on us and for not forecasting it and not seeing this. And I think it came so fast that people weren't ready. Like, the WNBA wasn't ready. They weren't ready for the hit, the Angel Reese, the Caitlin Clark, now the Juju Watkins, the Paige Bueckers, you can just keep going on and on. And these young women are phenomenal. And we've had that before. We've had better players or players that are just as good in the women's game. But now the partnerships are starting to come. The broadcasting, the radio shows, the TV rights. The money's coming in. They're putting it to the women's game, and it hasn't been disappointing. This would be the first year that the NCAA is allowing the women to make money in the blocks of the tournament. How about that? The men get, I think, 1.2 million per block. I'm not sure how much we get, but hopefully we get there and get to make a couple of dollars for the university. But kudos to these young women and past, present, and future who are shaping this game. I'm just glad to be a small part of it.
Let's start at the beginning. I mean, you played ball. You're a good ball player and
Pretty good.
a good D3 player, and you have a pathway in life to do something. And listen, I mean, I coached Beano Ranson when he was a boy.
Yeah,
You know, only team
Vino.
I ever coached in my life, Beano was the kid that could score 32 and win a
I know
game for
Vino
us.
well. Yep, I
Yeah,
know
I mean,
Vino well.
so you know, like I, you know, my background with basketball and loving basketball and the difference between men's and women's. And I, Bobby Nick, one of my dear friends, late great, and my audience all knew Bobby Nick. I met him coaching Wild Lake girls basketball in 1987, 88. And when he brought me over, I'm a reporter, kid with a notebook, and he told me, "We're doing triangle. We're running Dean Smith." And this is 1987, 88, and it was ultra competitive, and obviously there were scholarships everywhere at that point. And that was like that's where I came at it. And at that point, I loved girls basketball. I went gym to gym, place to place. I knew everybody locally. I name dropped all the people of that era. But between there and now, man, the NIL, I don't understand it and all of that, and why people get into coaching. And I saw the Larrañaga thing a couple of weeks ago as well. And I've seen even, you know, I remember, I always kid some old coaches about hazing and having fun back at Towson. And I even talk about Fang and all of that. But where the game is and where the ladies' game is, and for you to say, I want to be a women's coach, I'm going to go in that lane. Give me that moment for you when you went from player to coach to, hey, I kind of like working with the ladies. And I think for me, it was a much more beautiful game always, right? Below the basket, shooting, passing, more teamwork, more all of that than when the men's game really became very acrobatic and very individualistic.
It's funny you named Bino, right? So I was long. Make the long story short, I taught math in Norfolk Public Schools for 8 years.
That's not a
From
small thing. Let me come on. You went to school to be a, you are a school teacher. That's your
Well,
background.
so I went to school in business management, right? And so I went to a JV game, right? I went to a JV game, watched my cousin play at Booker T. Washington High School. I'll never forget. My former assistant principal, Cynthia Watson, was the principal then at Booker T. Washington High School. The AD
Where's
of the
Booker
school
T. Washington High
in
School?
Norfolk, Virginia, Park
Yeah.
Avenue, right by Norfolk State. And the AD at that time was my former PE teacher from middle school. So I'm watching a JV game, and the kids not listening to the coach. It's boys JV. And they keep looking at me because I'm from the neighborhood. They all know me. My cousins play, they all know me and respect me. Not kid you not. A week later, I get a call during Christmas break, come coach the JV team. But you got to teach math. Never taught math in my life. Never thought about teaching math. I got a business degree. I had to go back to school to get the teaching part of it. And I so taught math and coached JV boys basketball. How about that? I ended up being in my second year, had the highest SOL scores in the state of Virginia. I think Governor Wilder was the governor then, and he came to my
What is
class.
SOL? Tell you, come on, now you're doing
Students,
too much.
I'm going around. Students, standards of learning test. So in Virginia, you have a standard learning test that you have to pass in order to graduate. You have enough accreditation in order to graduate. So you got standards of learning tests. And I was Algebra 1 teacher. And so I crushed it. This is without a math degree. I was a
I would
long-term
still
sub.
fail your Algebra 1 class
And
right now if I came. If you add variables, I'm done, teacher,
you
Professor
wouldn't spell
Woods.
it. I related to you. That's what I was good at. I was good at taking it from the book to the board to the students. And that was my thing. So I did that from Algebra 1 to AP Calculus, everything but geometry for 8 years between Booker T. and Moore. It's a true story.
And you did that just so you would have the ability to coach these
It
kids.
make a couple dollars. It was like $150 a day or
This
something like
sounds like
that.
the White Shadow. Now, I'm maybe a little older than you back in this, you know. Is that what this was?
It's kind of, man. It was just I was 22 years old, making $150, 140, whatever it was a day. I thought I had a lot of money. I'm coaching basketball. I'm living a dream. Then I get an
In your
opportunity to
hometown, right? In
in
your
my
hometown?
hometown. I'm
Right.
home. My mom actually got a house across the street from Booker T. My last 2 years, I lived across the street from in Norfolk from Booker T. So I could walk to work. I live with my mom.
Man,
Can't
that
make
whole
this up.
Tidewater area. I mean, I'm friends with Coach Tomlin, and you know, this that whole area down there from the days of Alonzo Mourning and all. Just
Oh, yeah.
you know, Iverson. Just Just great athletes, just
Yeah,
great athletes
great
in that.
athletes and great tradition with all sports, even baseball,
Great
right? I
programs.
mean, great,
Kids
yes.
getting out and playing ball. Yeah,
No
whatever
question.
ball.
Whatever ball, no question. So then I start coaching, went for JV, then I went to Morehead and worked with Jack Baker, who's a legend in Norfolk. Then I went to AAU with Frankie Cabrera Wave Basketball Club. True story. I coached, it's still boys. I coached Wave Basketball Club. I beat the Boo Williams 16 team. Next time I'm coaching with Boo. I got my own team, Boo Williams B team. My guards are Briante Weber and Trey Freeman. Briante Weber's in the Hall of Fame at VCU, just got inducted, and Trey Freeman's in the Hall of Fame at Old Dominion. Those are my guards on the B team.
Nothing makes
That's
coaches smarter than good
there
players.
you go. There you go. That's how I know Beano. So I know Beano from recruiting my kids. That's how I
Okay.
know Beano was at Xavier then, I want to say.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's how I
Yeah.
know Beano. So I had a decision to make a couple
Well,
years fast forward.
it really, everybody knows everybody. It's men, women's, boys, girls, everybody. And I especially now, I guess the NIL and like all that and programs coming in together, it's yeah, y'all have to work together,
We all
right?
have to work. Yeah, it's the man and woman's game is different. You know, we don't really know each other. I didn't really know a lot of women's coaches until I got a player named Shanette Hicks, who ended up going to Virginia Tech. I got a phone call from Virginia Tech. You want to sit in the office and watch TV all day and kick your feet up? Well, I was doing in-school suspension at Maury then. I said, I do that already. They said, well, you don't make this amount of money doing it. I say, sign me up. And so I end up turning down James Madison and UNC Wilmington for a direct operations job on the men's side and taking a job at Virginia Tech with Dennis Wolf and being an assistant coach. And my player, Shanette Hicks, ended up going to Virginia Tech. I never coached her there because I went to Old Dominion when she got there. But that's how I got into women's, man, just about who you know and who you're coaching. And like you said, good players make good coaches. And I wouldn't change it for the world. It's the best thing I've ever done, the best decision I've ever made.
Why do you love coaching the women? Give me a little insight into this when you made that transition.
Yeah.
And what is different about it other than just obviously the obvious gender issue,
Yeah.
but just in a relatability. I have a hard time relating to 18-year-olds of any kind at this
Yeah.
point as I'm
Ooh.
getting older. I
Yeah.
haven't read up. I'm trying to read up on the Gen Z manual, so I'm not offending these kids
Yeah.
today. But I mean, it's a different world. I mean, young people, just in
It's
general.
different. Just young people in general are different, but it's a big difference between coaching the man and coaching women for sure. Personalities are different. You know, I coach really. I had 21 Division One players. I coached in men, so I coached the elite men. Boy, well, they were boys, right? Going into men, and being with the women just gave me a different side of basketball. The game is more pure. Now I love watching men's basketball, though. NBA down, I watch it all, right? Because I think some of the best shot makers are in the NBA. They make contested shots all day, so I want to see what they do and what they run. But just coaching women gave me a new perspective of like reaching people and being patient and understanding different perspectives and where they come from and the things that they have going on. My mom was a single mom, single parent family, my mom and three kids. So, you know, just understanding how strong women are and what I'm learning from them. Like they think I'm teaching them, they're teaching me, you know, how to be a better father. I had two girls. So,
How
you
old are
know,
your
just
girls?
20 and 14.
So in the same range. So like
Same
really
range.
they're like your daughters, these young
Yeah, and
ladies. Yeah.
exactly. And I have a
Okay.
26-year-old son as well, and a 7-year-old son. And I tell these young women all the time, my team, I done seen it all. You can't get anything past me. I raise kids older than you and your age. And so, you know, just watching them play, and like you said, they not as athletic as as men are, right? Just because it is it's body makeup, body structure. And so they have to put most play below the rim. We have some playing above the rim now, right? And they have to be more skilled at some things. You have to have a certain kind of skill. And it's just a joy to watch them grow and develop. And they come in one player and leave another player. And that's a joy, man. And we have a player like that. I know we'll get into that later, Layla. So just watching them grow and develop and mature into girls to women is very fulfilling for me that I get to be a part of that. And I think that's the biggest thing for me is having good people, good students, and good athletes. And we just got our GPA back. We have a 3.63 team GPA. 3.63. Everybody has 3.0 and above, 4.0s. So I'm not only coaching athletes, I'm coaching students. And I think that's my biggest accomplishment. And 3.6 highest in Coppin State women's basketball history.
Man, you're beating these big D1 schools, and your first thing you're bragging on is a GPA. So,
Yeah.
Lady Eagles, we got the head coach Jermaine Woods here talking ladies basketball, and I think more than anything, we'll get to your players. Last thing for you, I just went through the resume a little bit, and I see ODU, I see Old Dominion, and I'm an old newspaper head from the 80s, right? So back then, there was Tennessee, Connecticut. Old Dominion always had Louisiana Tech, right?
Louisiana
There were a
Tech. I was
couple
about to say Louisiana Tech.
of these programs that you even knew what colors their jerseys were. Baby blue looked like the Houston Oilers because they're bad. But ODU was like OG, like really like a UCLA of women's
No
basketball
question.
in some way. And you wound up there. Give me the track on that a little bit, and then we're going to talk about how and why you got the cop, and then we're going to get right into the cop and stuff here with you.
Yeah, so Old Dominion, I thought I was going to get a job out of high school to go to Old Dominion, but I didn't have enough experience at the time. So Virginia Tech took a chance on me, which I'm grateful for. But I'm from Norfolk, so I always wanted to go home. And at my time, Virginia Tech, I was privileged enough to be able to recruit a few top 50, top 25, top 100 players. So I got known as one of the best recruiters around. And so Coach Karen Badfoot, who actually worked for Wendy Larry, when she as an assistant, was the head coach at Old Dominion. And she called me and wanted me to recruiting coordinator. So it was my first chance to get to be a recruiting coordinator. And I wanted the opportunity. And so that's how I got to Old Dominion. Karen Bedford gave me a shot to be recruiting coordinator. And we brought some top 100 players to Old Dominion as well. So just going back home and being back in the area was very important for me. So I really enjoyed my time at Old Dominion. But the legacy there, when you walk in the building, it's like pressure, man. Like the expectations are through the roof at Old Dominion. They still,
How
like
much
you
about how
said.
old school I am with basketballs. I mean,
Yeah.
when I think of it, it's a rich thing. And I look down, being at ODU would have been different than being at Xavier, just being anywhere, like
No
literally even at
question. No doubt
JMU or
about it.
wherever, right?
No doubt about it. It was a lot of expectations at Old Dominion for women's basketball. But times have changed because the budgets have changed. So when
Right.
budgets change, you can't keep up. You still,
Oh, no question. You're trying to
you
keep up with Tennessee and Connecticut, and then the
know.
NIL comes along. So let me ask you this, because I'm taking notes over here. We're gonna get to Leyland and the team and Morgan next week, and beating them and all that. The notion that Coppin, the name Coppin State and what Coppin State represents. Here, I always say, and I joke around, and I got to catch up with Fang sometime because his name's right on the court. But, I used to be the guy at the paper when they would upset some team or play a team to the wire, and Fang would be pissed out of Kansas State and, in December money game. And I'd have to be getting a quote. You only call me when we don't win, So he, so that's pretty good, Fang. So Fang and I got the, so in '98, I always had Fang on and honored Fang. Fang was one of my Nice Guy Award winners with a smiley face back in the day. So I'll share some of that. But in '98, when they won the Big Banana and they broke through in March Madness, the words Coppin State, probably like UMBC now after the Virginia thing a couple years ago, in basketball spaces and outside of basketball spaces, and Dr. Jenkins would be online with this, people that know basketball who are our age, Coppin State's like Chaminade. It's like mentioning the White Shadow or mentioning things of that era that Coppin State winning that basketball game. I don't know how old you were in 1998. I don't, I can go do the math on you,
I
but
graduated 99 from high school.
well, so you're a junior in high school in Norfolk, and this Coppin State wins in your brackets, and you're like, where's that? Probably, right?
I remember like it was yesterday, for sure. I remember that. Yeah, I remember that like it was yesterday, man. And just glad to be able to be a part of that tradition and bring some of it back, right, on the women's side, right, and
But there's
just
a
feel different to
basketball
the best.
brand with Coppin State, I think, just in a general sense, period.
Yeah, it kind of it is, and that's what we need to get back to, right? And you mentioned Dr. Jenkins. It wouldn't be possible, and I'm not just saying this because he's the boss. He invests in athletics, man. Like I have what I need, right? I have what I need. I get to go recruit. I get to go get players. And so he wants athletics to be great because he understands that athletics drives institutions. It drives enrollment. It pushes the university forward. And so his investment has allowed me to go recruit players that usually wouldn't come to Coppin State because after the Fame Mitchell era, Coppin State went down a little bit, right? And the women's basketball team was really good, and then it went down a little bit. And then we're just trying to get back to that, man, and honor the things that Fame did and the teams before us.
Well, you're winning ball games and you got good kids there. Let's start with this. Coppin recruited you, and you've mentioned I was a good recruiter. That's my thing. You know, that's what got it. It's where you earn your bones. And then you know, coaching and work, and the whole executive part of all of this that goes on, the financial part of it, the business part, the parents going into homes, families, all of this. You're nodding your head. Tell me about that in the modern era and what that's about and how. People. It's about people and recruiting people. And you got recruited here to recruit others. Give me your philosophy on recruiting.
I mean, you got to win. I want to win the family, whoever that may be, whether it's a single parent, two parent, sisters, brothers. I always focus on the family. I never these generation of student athletes, they tell their parents everything, right? So whatever you say to a parent, whatever you do, if you feel like they, if the kid feel you mistreating them, you're not treating them fairly, they're going to tell their parent. So to me, the most important people other than the student athlete is the parents. So I want to show the parents that I really care about your student. I want you to be a part of this family, not just the student athlete, but you as well. So now when they get that call about being mistreated, they're like, not that same coach that we visited with, not the one that sat down to dinner and lunch with us. We got to talk about this a little bit more. So I think that's what helped me is that I allow the parents to be a part of the program as far as me communicating with them and understanding their feelings and their thoughts. And so now, when one of my players is a little angry or doesn't have their way, I might get a call from the parent letting me know so I can address it without them knowing. And I think that's helped me, especially with young women, of how to mold them and get them in the right direction. But it's different, man, going into the houses now from when I first started. The first thing now is how much money you have. Do you have a collective? So NIL and collective are two different things.
Teach me,
Okay.
literally. By the way, head coach Jermaine Woods here. He's the head coach of the Lady Eagles. The women's team is on a little bit of a hiatus here for a week, getting ready for this big Morgan game. We'll talk about that on the 25th. And we're going to get back to Ravens, and we had Oriole baseball. We've got a whole lot of stuff going on here. But everybody knows about our partnership with Coppin and a great appreciation. And, hey, thanks for taking time and doing this, too, because getting onto your team and all, the last couple of years of you, 3 years of doing this and putting this thing together, I don't want to be interrupted. So keep going. But I want to reset. Set for our radio audience.
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate you having me again, man. And thank you for the audience listening in. And thank you for your partnership. And anytime we can share light to women's basketball, I'm game. And I'm an open book. I'll answer any question anytime. Like Steve will tell you that. NIL and collective. So NIL is name, image, and likeness. That's what you get your own name, image, and likeness. That means companies come to you. They want to sponsor you. The school has nothing to do with that. So if you want to sponsor a student athlete on my team, that would be between you, the student athlete. And they got to report that to the university. And you may say, hey, Layla, you got to do three posts a week. I'll pay you $1,000 a month for you post our business 3 months a week. That's NIL. That's what it is. Collective is what the university, the athletic program gives the student athletes. So for instance, you have some schools that have 6 million collectives, 6 million in the men's side, $6 million collectives. Think about that. You have 13 scholarships, you got $6 million. These student athletes are getting that money right then from the athletic program. It's no name, image, likeness. You don't have to tweet, post or anything. That's what the school is allowed to give you.
Is it 10 million for the first player and 100 grand a piece for the next 11? How does that work?
Yeah, it's up to the coach. You get to negotiate with the athlete.
So it's a payroll that the coach doles out.
I couldn't have said it better. You just cracked the code, man. It's a
I
payroll.
I
It's a
I'm coach,
payroll.
I'll be honest with you, and for anybody listening, and they know this. I have moved my heart and thoughts in lots of places to talk to people to be educated on this. I have not sought out NIL. I have not done long segments on it. To be honest with you, it's made me a little squeamish until it gets together. I was at a thing a year ago, a Connects event that Gary Williams spoke at, and he spoke, and I keep hearing this 70-something-year-old and him. I respect Gary immensely. I've known Gary forever, but he's like, eventually somebody's going to put some guardrails in on this, and there's going to be some. And I'm like, I'm looking over my shoulder thinking, where are the police coming? And I don't know where they. I mean, it is going to be the Wild Wild West until it's not, or until Congress gets involved. And Lord knows with what's going on next week down there. I just feel like it is what it is, and it's incomprehensible. For somebody like me, until I start to comprehend it and then say, I'm obviously involved in it as Coppin's partner and trying to express it or understand it at a smaller level, but trying to understand it at the Maryland or even the Notre Dame, Ohio State level this week when there's a football game going on this
Yeah,
week,
I
as
know.
all of this changes, who's making what? How are they making? Like, it's almost like la la la. I don't want to hear. I don't feel like I'm ready to understand it yet. I'm just still trying to figure out who's going to win the football game and maybe have a little bit of fun with it while I
Yeah.
have some nachos and a beer on a Monday night watching the game, you
There you
know?
go.
I
There you
mean,
go.
but from your perspective, it has been remarkable how you have to go from being a coach to a business owner very, very quickly. All of you in every sport in every way because of the it's been a paradigm shift. I
Yeah,
mean,
it has
literally,
been.
yeah.
And we don't have a choice. Either you get with it or you get out. It's no choice. And you see a lot of the older coaches are getting out because this is not going to change. This is here to stay. We have to change and we have to adjust. And a lot of people can't handle it, man. And it's at my level, like you just said, it's not as intense as a Maryland level. But like a Layla, if she had another year, man, like I probably wouldn't be able to keep her. Like somebody come and say, "Oh, we got 100,000." What I'm gonna say? Like what do I say? Right? I can't give her 100,000. So that's the hard part about it. You get good players. Like if I vice versa, if I was at a bigger school and I watch this Layla Lawrence kid, I'm watching every game, and I'm going to get her when the season's over with as a recruiter. I'm not worried about Jermaine Woods at Coppin State. I want her to come to my program. Here you go. That's what they do at the other levels. And if I was at a bigger school as an assistant or head coach, I would do the same thing. They're not recruiting high school. They're recruiting Coppin State best players or Norfolk State or whoever,
That
right? And
is what the portal is.
that's what it is. That's
Yeah.
what it is. And so you go down the roster, you see second nation double doubles. Oh, let me watch this kid. Oh, I got 150K for it. I have what? What you
I'm
want me to
just at a
say?
different level. Like I don't mean to be the get off my porch guy because I'm seeing all the gambling ads come at me now, and and I promote the lottery, and I'm not a sports gambler. It would have got me thrown out of the media. I joke with Mike Flynn last week. If I was asking you how Dilfer looked at practice so I could gamble like 25 years ago, it would have been all over with. There's the part of this where I'm watching the preseason and Coach Loxley's got players down on the field, and it was a little bit like a professional wrestling interview. It was like, I'm paying these guys cash money, and I'm like, oh my God, like you could like it. Did he say that? And I'm trying to get used to it in the way that you're just being real about your own players because you have, let's be honest, Layla Lawrence. Let's get into her. Let's get into your roster and getting ready for Morgan next week. As I tell everybody, go get crab cakes over Coppin. Coppin and Morgan both invited at Coco's right around the corner there. We got pretty good crab cakes over.
Coco's
See, even Coppin knows about Coco's. But so we're going to be doing the show over there, the Cup of Super Bowl, our charity event, Super Bowl week. That's 3 weeks from now. It's on the Wednesday of that week. We're doing it. So Layla, and you're involved. So give me the last 3 years of your life and getting this team to where you are right now, which is I'll give you a chance to brag about the team. You're in a pretty good position here. Maybe get me a MEAC championship shirt, maybe to wear here.
We're in a pretty good position, man. And it's been from the ground up. Like every kid on the roster I recruited with my staff. And it's been from 8 wins to 12 wins to now we already at 11 wins. So it's been getting the right players and the right people. And I think this year we have that mix. And it took like it's my 3rd year as a head coach at this level. So it took me time to figure out, that you're not only a coach, like you said, you're kind of like the CEO of the team. You got to run everything. And I think managing people is the hardest part. The coaching is the easy part. Managing people is the hardest part. So you got to put the right pieces in place, whether it's your staff, your players, and put the right people together in order to build something special. And we've done that so far. And I'm proud of them, man. I can't lie to you. Like what we did in non-conference was amazing. We're 2-2 in conference. We lost 2 road games to the top 2 teams. Not a bad thing. We got to get them when they come home. And I like our chances of being in the championship game in the MEAC tournament. Once we get back fully healthy and get our pieces right, I really like it. And it's been real, man. But I've had support from Dr. Jenkins. I had support from Derek Carter, who's our athletic director. And with the support of the athletic director and the president, I get to go to Texas and get a Layla, right? She's from Texas. How we get a Texas kid to Baltimore? You got to be able to reach there. And so they supported me tremendously in my efforts. But when you get that support, you better win. It looks like it looks like it's paying off, right? And I think that's the great thing. So definitely proud of proud of what we accomplished and definitely proud of Layla.
If you haven't been out to coppinstatesports.com to see what's going on, results, all the things happening, the baseball team and Sherm. I had Ruffin on a couple weeks ago from down at Fahley's. We talked about the program in general, just everything that's going on. But it happened like literally, I booked him on right before Arizona State, and I think he came over the day after, and it was like, wow. And then the maybe it was the George Washington.
George
I think that was,
Washington,
you had just won
GW.
two big ones that week or whatever. It was like second week of December. Remember, run me through your schedule because, I mean, you played the number one team in the country, playing Maryland. I mean, last year you bring Angel Reese. So, I mean, I was over there that night and the place was on fire all night long. And the thing I noticed, and I took pictures and I had a good time with him, did some social. And, digital, Gary Digital Williams and I are old boxing buds from down on the court and whatnot. So, anytime I'm over there, I'm mugging with him. But that was a real happening and a real on the map thing that any building she walked into, and then the Caitlin Clark thing takes off, and the WNBA thing took off in that. I guess it's been, my God, it's only been 56, 57 weeks since we did that, right? It was Christmas of last year that you had that event there. From the minute I walked in, and I got there early because I wanted to avoid the traffic, park my dom and go in, park my car, walk in, and I want to be there early and vibe it all out. And I watched all these young girls come into the building with signs of encouragement, and they all look like ball players. They didn't, you know what I mean? It looked a little Taylor Swift and a little, Michael Jordan, and a little, yeah, I don't know what the heck it was, but it was really neat. And I saw that, and then I see your schedule, and I see the, I mean, they were the champs, and you brought them in, and then you bring in, right, and then you play these road games, and then you find Arizona State coming in. You've managed to massage this thing to make it interesting and to get your players better, get your players ready for conference play, which is as old as, I guess Bobby Knight, right?
I know it's Bobby Knight. Man, you something else, man. It's the non-conference schedule is challenging, right? But we have to do it for budget constraints, right? And so we have to bring a certain amount of number in. In order to facilitate our budget and add to it. So I will say this, the number I have to get now is not when I first got here. So kudos to the administration again for that. But going to play bringing Angel Reese was the start of something. You might know, you don't know, Dawn Staley's coming here next year with her team. Next January, Martin Luther King Jr. Day weekend. How about that, right?
That's a year like from this weekend, so you better get
Year from
planning
this
on that.
weekend. So she's coming. So that's already in the
That's
works.
like the World Cup coming up,
You know what I'm
right?
saying? So
Right.
everybody, what we did with LSU and the things that Coach Markey and her staff said about us, now we get to bring Dawn back to Baltimore. How about that with her team? And I'm rooting for them to win a national championship so we can bring another national champion back to Baltimore and get to see you there with another national
Well, I'm rooting
champion.
for
So
you to win a national championship, or at
me
least be in the
too.
tournament, right?
Me too. Let's get to the tournament. We got to get there first, right? Get to the tournament. So, but playing North Carolina, South Carolina, I mean, you see our schedule. They're guaranteed. They call it guaranteed games, right? And we get a certain amount of money for
If Fang were here, he'd say we call them money
We call it
games.
money games. So we won. Like GW was a money game. We got paid to go to GW.
And
We
they
won.
won.
We get 20 Arizona State money game. We won.
We
So
broadcast right here on WNST and Baltimore Positive because we
then.
broadcast the games.
There you go. So you get a couple of those money game wins that make your schedule look a little easier, And so that those two wins were great. Kent State win was good. They were a tournament team last year. So we snuck a few wins in, man, and did a few things. But we're going to do the same thing next year. We're going to play four money games because we are going to make a lot of revenue off. We didn't know the revenue we'd make off of LSU, but that thing was a like bringing in like the Globetrotters in town. They travel with a crowd, so. We're bringing Don in town to give me a chance to not play so many money games, but still do a competitive schedule. So, just excited about it, man. Just I like those games though. Like going to see the history of those buildings. Like playing the Carmichael was amazing. Like you get the it's beautiful. You get joy and stuff everywhere. You get the like taking a young woman they never seen those things before. So, we go out to Arizona State next year. Some people never been out to Arizona before. We get to see that. So.
Arizona
Yeah,
State's building's beautiful, man. Right next to Sun Devil, it's a big circle. You know,
so
if you get to play the Purdue ladies, take them to Mackey, take them to some cool buildings. You know what I mean?
yeah,
Like
for yeah,
I'm
yeah.
an old college basketball head, so I'm
You
all
can
about
tell.
all of that. You know. So, by the way, head coach Tremaine Woods, last thing for you, just on the schedule and what's coming up for everybody. Kind of a little bit of a weird downtime here. I thought, why off? Why now? Why down? It's kind of the middle. It's kind of the bye week sort of for you guys. A little bit before you get ready for Morgan, but home games coming up. The games are on the radio too. Delaware State on the 1st of February, and then yeah, I see a rough and sort of backload of this thing with Norfolk and Howard and UMES at the end and Morgan. You guys play Morgan to end the whole thing on March 6th. That's always quite the scene
Yeah.
over at Coppin. But you know, get ready for these games and what. Tell everybody about your conference a little bit and what you need to get through. Because they can look up and see 11-9. They can see you've won some big games, seeing you play the number one team in the country, but also seeing this is a competitive conference.
Yeah, no, we have a very competitive conference. Like Norfolk State is number eight in the country in the mid-major poll. Top 25, they're number eight in the country. We're receiving top 25 mid-major votes. Howard has been in the championship game 4 years in a row. Like our conference, we got good coaches, man, and good players in our conference. So, you know, our conference is on the rise. We only have eight teams, so we have 2 weekends where we don't play, you know, so it's kind of like throws it off a little bit. But we needed this time off. We have a couple injuries that we need to rest that they played through, and we need them to heal properly. So this came in a perfect, perfect time for
I'm
us.
surprised how early the season starts these days. And I feel that when the men get going and it becomes obvious, I'm like, man, it was just Halloween. Like, what? You know,
It's
like,
all
and.
year. It's November to March. It's a long season, man. Like it's a long season. So these downtimes are not ideal, but for us with our limited roster, they work for us. Like Layla's in Texas right now. She had death in the family, so she had to she's in Texas, you know, praying for her and her family. But you know, some big news came out by her today, so she'll
I
come
want
back
to
strong.
announce
So
this here because she was
okay,
named the Becky Hammon Mid-Major Player of the Year watch list.
how about that?
That happened on Martin Luther King Day, actually. The reigning MEAC Defensive Player of the Year. You look like a guy that's going to coach defense. You look scrappy. I'm just being honest. You know, coaching defense. Look at you, right? You're like, you look at the smile on your
I'm a
face.
defensive guy, man. I'm a defensive guy. And you can't tell the last 2 games we're getting beat off the dribble a lot, but you know, we are a defensive team. So how about that though? Coppin State University women's basketball player is named to the mid-major, the national mid-major watch list, Becky Hammon watch list, player of the year. That is amazing. What a good great job by Layla and the things
To
she's done.
discover Layla and I'll get Layla on when she gets a little bit of time. I know she's had a rough week. Let her go play ball and win a championship here. But in bringing people in who may not even know what Coppin State is or may know very little about it from outside the region, I've been amazed at I've been doing this 15 years and you know all the years Steve Kramer, thank you Steve for helping us out and Ruffin and everybody you know everybody across the board, but. I'm amazed that I look at the baseball kids from Hawaii come, kids from
Yeah,
Arizona,
yeah.
kids Florida, just like that. I wouldn't have thought about it that way. I always thought, well, Fang will get some kids from Philly to come down. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
It
yeah.
felt more regional to me, but it's not really that way at all.
Yeah, it's you know, it's like we talked about before, my background came from recruiting, so I know a lot of people. And so I, you know, you call the people that you leaned on when you were at the Power Four level, and they look out for them, they point them in the right direction. I spent a lot of time in Texas. You know, I spent a lot of time in Texas to get
Splat, isn't
Layla
it?
to to get her to come to Baltimore, right? And once she came to Baltimore, once I get you on campus and get you in front of, see what we do when we go in, what I do in the event, you meet the president, athletic director, and administration, because we are a big family. Small school, you got to show that you are a family. Or why are you at a small school? Why come to a small school if you don't have access to the president? There's no reason to come there. And he is accessible. Our AD has an open door policy. And so when we get these young women and their parents on campus, they meet those people. And not just me. And we get to sell it. And Baltimore, people talk about Baltimore. Before I came to Baltimore, I thought Baltimore, I didn't know. I was like, Baltimore. I live on the harbor. I love it. I park my car, walk everywhere. I think it's an amazing place to be. I love living in Baltimore. I love where I live. And once I get them on campus and in Baltimore, they fall in love. We only lost one recruit, two. I think
Everybody
they got
says that,
two.
Derek. You know, when it comes to bring, and I feel the same way. When I come over, it's always like, I feel like, hey, when do I get to come back? Not, I'm in a hurry to leave for sure.
Yeah, for
Every
sure, for
time.
sure. And when you're on Coppin's campus, I know it's on North Ave. You don't know that though. I'm telling you, we got a beautiful campus. It's like a hidden gem. And the parents like, oh my goodness. So the bar is so low for them, right? When they come, they can't believe it's there. And our kids live downtown by the Orioles Stadium in Redwood. Like they live in luxury apartments. So it's just like, you know, we got a great gym. So it's once we just got to get them there. And once we get them there, you know, again, in 3 years, we've lost two recruits to other schools. And so we've been successful with recruiting. That's the big part of it.
All right, go out and see the Lady Eagles play. Head coach, I got to get you back to the ladies, man. Jermaine Woods is here. My thanks to you. I kept you too long. Apologies, but it was fun.
Good.
I don't get to talk college basketball as much as I
No,
want to,
we talked
and
about a
I
lot.
don't understand enough about it to feel confident that I know what I'm talking about in the modern era, because I'm not. I'm gonna chase Beano around so he can come on and explain it to me on the men's side too, because I think the more of it input that I get as to what's really happening, because I just know it's tremendously different than it was the first 50 years of my life, and you know, 45 of yours probably, or 40 of yours,
You're
right?
quick. You're 40. How old am I? 43. 43 going on 55, man. Coaching basketball ages you, man. I'm telling you look good, man, by the way. So, you know, thank you for having me on, man. I really appreciate it. And you say you don't know, but you're a great listener. You catch on fast because you gave me some things I'm gonna use. That payroll line, I'm using that, man. Like I'm using that payroll line. That's
They'll
one thing.
listen underneath of the interview here on Baltimore Positive. There'll just be a whole transcript. You can clip whatever you want. You put it on a coffee mug if you want. You know, make
There
me
you
look smart.
go.
Jermaine Woods is here. He's head coach of the Lady Eagles. Good luck to you, MEAC, this year. And I will see you. I'm going to come over and see you guys play. I think I'm going to be out there March 6th for the doubleheader, because it's always a lot of fun to get the Morgan folks all right. And the bands, oh my goodness, it's a fun time. Come on out to Coppin and enjoy. And if you can't, you can always tune in to WNSD AM 1570. All right, football, baseball, playoffs, Super Bowl, all this stuff's going on. Lamar, Josh, all that. We're WNSD AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Coppin State and Baltimore Positive. Hang in there with us.